Hey, everybody. Welcome to Wallace Hartley Presents the Podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Lamont.
And I'm your co-host, Harge. Just to remind you.
Just Harge.
This is the podcast that makes it okay to be a man again.
Oh, you are so... I swear, every week, that's how you start. You're trying to pick a fight.
The podcast with balls?
Red Bull.
Red balls.
Yeah.
Do you prefer red balls to blue balls?
I'm not even going to go there.
Okay.
Red pill, blue pill. Welcome, folks. Glad you could join us. It's been a lovely week. It's been nothing but crazy hot weather up here in Vancouver, British Columbia. Wherever you're tuning in, especially if you're listening to us in the southern hemisphere in Chile.
In beautiful Chile.
We still have no idea who our one listener in Chile is.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out, damn it. Yeah.
One thing I do know about Chileans is they have a fantastic beverage choice. I remember a specific Chilean beverage, Coca-Cola and red wine. Delicious.
Oh, really?
Delicious.
Yeah, somebody else I know drinks that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was back in Scotland.
We should drink that our next episode.
Well, maybe you should.
And we'll close it out with a fist fight.
Yeah, and then go steal a car.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
It'd be our highest rated episode yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd be our last episode.
Okay. Okay.
Unless they let you bring your podcast equipment to prison.
Okay. I'm going to stop dragging you into the sewer.
Yes. Thank you. Like I said, it's been crazy hot for our neck of the woods up here.
And for a gringo.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't mind. I prefer hot weather.
Yeah.
Humid. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But everybody up here has been complaining like crazy. You know what
I mean? That's because we have a lot of proletarians. A lot of people sans air conditioning.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I live in an old building,
uh-huh.
Which is not designed for, anything.
Uh-huh.
Not designed for anything. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a box.
So as a white man, this is the perfect time to put on a wife beater and take it out on your wife.
Oh my gosh. It is. It's a very... No, it's not that, but it really is a very Tennessee Williams kind of feel to the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
Literary
references, folks.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. So, how's your week been?
I mentioned this before. This is the same week I have at the end of every single semester. This is the last semester of coursework in my graduate studies, and as with every semester that's preceded it, I haven't done an ounce of work for the past 3 months.
Yeah.
And now the murder chickens are coming home to roost, and anxiety is high, and deadlines are looming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of that with most of my deadlines for assignments and things like that. Yeah, I'm on it.
Yep.
What day is it? Mm-hmm. Holy crap, that's due tomorrow.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, like... I hate fucking TV. I hate most media, but usually around this time, I really start loving TV shows.
Yeah.
I've watched an entire season of Better Call Saul in the last 2 days.
That's a great program.
It is a great program.
Yeah, it really is. So, things are still even crazier than they were before with America and COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Canadian Border Services Agency... they're issuing, really cracking down on it. So here's the problem, right? Canada, including British Columbia, which has had excellent COVID-19 numbers, has seen spikes. And what they're attributing to is, so the borders are open only for essential travel. There is no non-essential travel to Canada from America. But British Columbia is a unique case because of the amount of Americans who pass through it to get to Alaska, which is part of America.
Or Point Roberts.
Yeah, Point Roberts, that little archipelago or whatever the hell it is.
So for those that aren't aware, BC is a place that Americans need to traverse in order to get to non-contiguous parts of the United States.
Wow. You didn't have time to study for that, so you couldn't have just made that up.
No, that's my annual moment of coherence.
Wow, I'm impressed. So what they're doing is, so here's the problem. Like, a few Americans have been busted and given large fines because they get to the Canadian border. They get to, like, Peace Arch and go, oh, yeah, I'm just going to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Straight through, no stopping, not even to pee.
Not even to piss, no.
And then they arrest them in, like, Banff National Park, taking pictures of bears.
Well, that is a route. It's a route.
It's not the route.
No.
So now the CBSA is they're cracking down, you know, because that's what Canada is all about.
Yeah.
We're tough people. So they're saying, yes, you can go through, you can travel through British Columbia to get to Alaska, but we're going to make sure that there's no messing about. So we're going to give you this little tag that you put on your rearview mirror, man. Mm-hmm. And that's got to hang there so people can see it and know that you have permission to just travel straight and no stopping.
You know how to really stick it to...
But what the hell is that?
You know how to really stick it to an American who wants to go to Alaska?
Yeah.
Give them a wrist tattoo.
Yes.
Like a barcode or something, maybe?
Well, I agree. Exactly. Or, you're a little more civilized. I was going to say shock collars. So that if you slow down, if it'd be like the movie Speed.
It'd be like an episode of Speed.
Yeah. You go below a certain speed limit, and then it just starts shocking the crap out of you.
I mean, the COVID entertainment pickings are getting slim. And I think that we do have nationalized television here. If the CBC wants
CBC
to get on board.
Get a hold of that? Huh?
Big
ratings, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So that's been a big deal because people have been getting sick again up here. And a lot of it is blamed on the Americans. A big part of that is, I think I mentioned this before, but Americans on small pleasure craft, same thing. They will they'll leave Washington State, and then they will just stop at little places like Pender Island and places like that, the little islands in the Gulf between Vancouver and Island.
Yeah, they're stopping to see me.
yeah, but...
I mean, most... just the pandemic can stop the business.
Yeah, that's right. But most of the people who live on those islands are seniors, right? They're retired, and they're pissed because they're like, these people come in, they drop anchor, and then they take their dinghies into town, and they eat in our restaurants, and they're making people sick, and we got a lot of old people here, so not cool. But yeah, that was our solution to making sure that they drive straight through. We give them a little tag to hang on the rearview mirror. Because they're going to abide by that.
Yeah, I've been noticing this just as a more meta theme. Man, this COVID thing really, really drives that in-group, out-group thing. And it gets more and more micro.
Doesn't it?
It's like people in Vancouver versus people in Kelowna versus people on the island versus BC versus Albertans versus Canadians versus Americans. And it's like it's always the virus. I mean, we're still hanging on to the same narrative that was toxic in the beginning, which is, other people from outside are bringing this. Whereas the likelihood is that there's probably a lot higher rate of incidence that we have here that we're unaware of. And that's what's fucking driving the spread. And the inability to stay the fuck apart from each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I love you, Americans. Keep coming by. Pleasure craft owners, don't stop stopping where you have to stop. Okay?
Yeah.
Like I'm fucking saying that to you. Thank you. You got to keep these.
Don't you guys have some kind of a code, or don't you use like WhatsApp, one of those encrypted services?
No, no. Proton mail.
Proton mail.
Proton mail.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Americans, Donnie. Little Donnie Trump
I just want to say if you have a chocolate bar, you can never truly be a bad man.
No.
No. Because no bad man has ever had a chocolate bar.
So, you know.
Babe Ruth?
That's true.
Was he a good man?
I don't know. Didn't you see the movie with John Goodman?
Wasn't he a drunk that beat his wife?
He was a drunk. You know, Harsh, I'm a little offended.
Uh-huh.
Not all drunks beat their wives.
No?
I was a drunk.
That's because no woman would fucking marry you.
Well,
no one would give you the opportunity.
Yeah, that's true. At the time. That's the only reason I'm married now is I got sober. Mm-hmm. So Donnie has said recently, because a lot of people have been talking, it's not that far away, November 2020, the big election. And he's saying, Donnie is saying that I'm not sure if we're going to have this election.
I think that's a fairly...
Go ahead. Tell me, what is it?
It's a very prescient and well-informed thought. I think Donnie is thinking on a level that perhaps that we don't all have access to.
Sure.
And maybe I can impart some clinical judgment in order to support his decision-making.
Go ahead.
I mean, you can only truly vote if you are of sound mind and body.
Mm-hmm.
And able to cast your vote in good faith, right?
Right.
And I think if we were to assess American society as a whole,
mm-hmm.
sort of tracing the mental health trajectory right now, if we were to sort of coalesce them into one individual, we'll say that by the time November comes along, no one will be of sound mind and body to vote. And taken as a whole, the judgments of the people can't be trusted, because at that point, they won't know what's good for them. So this election cycle should be nullified until such point things calm the fuck down and they can make a more reasonable decision.
Well, as it turns out, some legal minds mm-hmm. immediately cracked open the books.
Oh, fucking books. You're not going to get anywhere with these books.
You're in academia. How could you even say that?
I'm trying to subvert the entire endeavor from the inside.
So, they started looking up to find anything remotely resembling precedent. And there's nothing. The president is in no way, shape, or form capable of changing the date of the election.
They had an election. They had an election during World War II.
Yes. They had an election during the Civil War. And a lot more people died back then because they didn't have, you know, medical treatments that they have today.
But those crises weren't on Twitter.
No, they weren't. So, because Donnie is saying what he's saying is, mail-in votes. I don't know. What's the deal there? They're not reliable.
Well, no, they are not reliable, and they're highly corruptible. I've shared on this podcast many times that most of my narcotics came in the mail. So can you truly trust these people?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So anyways, that's a big deal. And then former President Barack Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah.
Was giving the eulogy for John mm-hmm. Lewis.
Yeah.
And he without even mentioning Donald Trump's name, really apparently just stuck it to him big time and tried to drive home the point that guys like John Lewis were at the forefront of the civil rights movement. This is a guy who was almost beat to death.
Now, I'll give you the Joe Lewis
on the bridge
was a
in
hell
Selma.
Of a boxer, but fucking Cassius Clay fucked him up.
Okay. John Lewis.
John Lewis
is who we're talking about.
Joe Lewis, man who was a boxer and later had a delicious dessert
what?
Named
that
after
that has
him.
Nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
John Lewis?
Yeah, the guy who just died.
Oh.
Yeah. Moving along.
But Joe Lewis was a civil rights hero too, right?
He was a fucking boxer. He was not the... Let's just move it right along.
No, you're right, because Cassius Clay also called him an Uncle Tom.
Okay. Anyways. So, long story short, Trump realizes that he's fucked up beyond repair
mm-hmm.
as far as this whole pandemic has gone,
mm-hmm.
and he knows he's gonna get his ass kicked in November, and so he's looking for any excuse at this point to go, no, let's do the election next week, because this week in November looks like bad barbecue weather. So let's just move it back a little bit.
I have to say, there's still lots of time.
Mm-hmm.
There's still lots of time, but I will give you this. Donnie, you're looking a little unhinged.
Oh, yeah, baby.
The Democrats, they have nothing. They have Joe Biden. He's senile and ineffectual. He's nothing. He's a non-fucking human being with nothing good to say. If you look at the... If you look at their legislative record right now, what the Democrats are doing, giving more money to the Pentagon, fucking denying that they want any Medicare for all. It's all shit. It's all shit.
And that's
and they're saying nothing. Donnie, you got the mic. you have the mic and you're not saying anything good. You're just talking about your polling numbers.
Because
like,
he's an idiot. Talk
about, what about where happened to deep state? What happened to fucking pedophiles and rounding up pedophiles and fucking rile up your QAnon horde? Do something.
But at the end of the day, this is, we've seen it twice now. Mm-hmm. Last election with him and Hillary and our good pal, Uncle Bernie.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Bernie, comes out of the gate and he's just, got so many people on his side and young people. Mm-hmm. And everybody is like, I'm voting for Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
And then something, you know, and then Bernie is like, oh, you know what? I just remembered I got a thing that day, so I'm going to have to drop out.
He was pushed out.
Yes, he was pushed out.
Just like this time.
And this time around as well, he's like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to throw my weight behind Joe.
Honestly, I think now we all know that I'm more of a paleo conservative than a progressive. But I will give the progressives a piece of advice. If you truly want to see your progressive agenda take hold, you're going to have to take a sort of an accelerationist stance here, in that you need to let Trump have 4 more years. We need to burn this fucker down, like all the way down.
Well, you know,
because if you think that Joe Biden coming in is going to make things better, no, it's not going to make anything better.
It's all going to be
shit with a different name.
I'm going to have to say, I think for the first time, we're coming up on almost episode 10 mm-hmm. of the Wallace Hartley Presents podcast.
The podcast with balls.
And this is the first time I may have actually be agreeing with you
mm-hmm.
on Trump
mm-hmm.
Being in office for the next 4 years. Because you're right, it would burn shit to the ground. And then they could start over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The only thing I'm worried about is if Trump... holy crap, if he gets voted back in again. What I'm worried about is after their second civil war, because that's what's going to happen, is shit spilling across the border into Canada.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you guys want to destroy your country, go right ahead. But, you know, leave us the fuck out of it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got to get together with Mexico.
Yep.
We both build walls.
Mm-hmm.
We get Donnie to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let him go to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying.
And then we can pick up the good parts afterwards.
Oh, yeah. And then we head down there as after everybody's dead.
Yeah.
And just pick and choose, yeah. right?
I want a little spot in the Southwest.
Yeah. Well, fucking, and we need to take Montana back.
You want Montana back?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Virtually no difference between Alberta and Montana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Plus all those nuclear silos there.
Yeah. And when I say take it back, we take it back and then we give the combined new Alberta and Manitoba back to the First Nations.
Well, that's something that they can hardly get behind.
And then we give the entirety of Ontario and Quebec back to the First Nations.
Well, where are all the gringos going to live and other people like
me? Fuck them. You know what I mean?
Oh, for God's sakes.
You're okay. You're a brown guy. First Nations people would be like, he's okay. He's a brown guy.
Are you sure?
Yeah. And then with me, they'll be like, he's a pain in the ass, but he knows the brown guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so as long as he shuts the fuck up and quits mm-hmm. giving us mm-hmm. a hard time with all mm-hmm. his, you know, white mm-hmm. person's guilt,
mm-hmm.
he'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of North America,
mm-hmm.
yeah, fuck him. That's what I got to say about that. But hey,
going from one potential fantasy to another potential fantasy, which I don't think it is a potential fantasy.
It's
Glenn,
not.
You've made me so happy today.
Glenn
usually brings wonderful topics to the show, topics that are political and engaging, but none of them really lights my fire like this one.
Well, I got to tell you, I can't believe this. And this is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me down this rabbit hole. Because you texted me a link to that New York Times article.
Mm.
So I started reading about all this UFO reports and everything else and papers and stuff like that is now going to be released. Right?
Supposedly.
Supposedly. But what I didn't know was what I found out.
Oh, just one correction in the spirit of journalistic integrity. Last week we said that those documents would be released by the time the election came around.
Yeah.
So after the Senate committee hearing said that the Pentagon, whoever has to release the documents, that 180 days doesn't actually take hold until after October. So those documents will be released in the new year.
Yeah.
After the election.
But that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because Canada has got it covered.
Mm.
Yeah.
We don't talk about this shit, do we?
Well, we have, apparently Canada has always been ahead of the curve when it comes to UFO stuff.
Oh.
Including information.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a guy who just recently donated a ton, like he has collected all this UFO mm-hmm. information. He donated it to the University of Manitoba. It's a combination of government documents and RCMP reports and stuff like that. And then he's one of these guys who, keeps track on his own mm-hmm. of UFO sightings. Mm-hmm. And people call him, and, mm-hmm. and he's a recognized expert in the field. Unpublished U.S. military findings on unidentified aerial phenomena may soon be made public. That's what we've been talking about. Yeah. But as it turns out, they could learn a thing or two from us up here in Canada when it comes to transparency mm-hmm. about flying saucers and the like. So last week, the New York Times reported the Pentagon had actively investigated the UFO reports, citing a report from a Senate committee that called the program Task Force on Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. The Pentagon could be ordered to summarize and publish the program's findings if Congress passes the Intelligence Authorization Law. It's an exciting time for ardent UFO fans, acknowledges Chris, now I hope I can pronounce this properly, Rutkowski, an enthusiast and author of 10 books on how the phenomenon has played out in Canada over the years. And Canada is actually ahead of the curve. He lives in Winnipeg, and last year he donated his personal collection of UFO reports, including mm-hmm. 10,000 Canadian mm-hmm. government documents and 20,000 more from various agencies to the University of Manitoba. He got them through the Freedom of Information mm-hmm. Act and requests, rather, Transport Canada. Mm-hmm. So apparently up here in Canada, like the Americans, you report an UFO, and it's like, boom, you know, all those deep state UFO Area 51 guys are all, they come to your house.
Well, that's the
story. A couple of men in black, you know.
That's the story. And then there's a mythology around that. But in the United States, there's no governmental place to report to. You can report it to your police, but people typically report it to things like MUFON.
Right. So, but here in Canada, apparently, it's always been very accessible to report. And mm-hmm. and the records have been well kept, mm-hmm. well maintained. So about 9,000 government documents ranging from, and this is dating back to the 50s here in Canada, from the Department of Defense memos on flying saucers to RCMP reports by officers who investigated UFO sightings across the country are available on the website from Library and Collections Canada. So you don't have to go through mm-hmm. any like documentation or mm-hmm. requests or anything. You just go to the website, boom, it's all there. And they show a fairly consistent record of official Canadian engagement and interest in the subject. People in Canada have been way ahead of the United States in the sense that we have had a body of evidence and a body of documentation showing an official interest in UFOs. Rutkowski says that Canadian authorities have historically been more transparent than their American counterparts, and that Canadians viewed UFOs more as a scientific curiosity than a military threat. While the Canadian government probably hasn't published everything it knows about UFOs, he said there are sometimes good reasons to classify information. Now, I just want to say this. As you know, I lived in the UK mm-hmm. for 10 years, most mm-hmm. of that in Scotland. Now, Scotland is a place where there's lots of UFO sightings.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have, of course, the Loch Ness Monster.
Uh-huh.
It has wide swaths of, like, unpopulated land.
Mm-hmm.
and it's really cold and fucking miserable, and people drink a lot and see big monsters in the lake.
So we're going to belittle these people.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Canada, you know, a lot of wide open spaces, mm-hmm. Really cold winters, fuck all to do, mm-hmm. except get drunk and look at the sky.
Now,
so do you think there's a correlation is what I'm asking you. Okay. I'm not belittling anyone.
No, because I think sightings of phenomenon in the sky are a worldwide phenomenon. And also, I would like to say this.
Mm-hmm.
As a man who's... this is a common aspersion. Is that how you say that word?
Yes.
Aspersion?
Correct.
Thrown at people who purportedly have a UFO sighting, which is they're drunk or intoxicated. Now, you've been drunk. Maybe once or twice.
I was drunk. Listen, I want to clear that up, okay? I have been drunk once in my life.
Okay.
It happened to be for 25 years. But.
I, too, have been drunk for maybe twice for several years at a time. And I will tell you this. When you are drunk,
mm-hmm.
no matter how drunk you are, you can distinguish between what is real and what is not. Especially when it comes to something like a fucking football field-sized object flying over your head, flashing lights down on you. That's
yes.
typically not something you hallucinate when you're drunk.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
I'm just going to say. Yeah.
I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, apparently Canada, we have a ton of reports. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, the RCMP
mm-hmm.
have like, you know, you kind of think of like small towns in the middle of nowhere. And like I said, we got a lot of that in British mm-hmm. Columbia. And, you know, the RCMP, local mm-hmm. RCMP officer going, let me just type that up mm-hmm. on my invisible computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. Apparently, mm-hmm. they've been very good at taking the reports, mm-hmm. at documentation, mm-hmm. and then sending those yeah. off to the appropriate authorities. But what I didn't know, and this is...
Did they talk about NORAD sightings as well?
Yeah, NORAD sightings. Yeah. Department of National Defense mm-hmm. and sightings of unidentified airborne objects are being reported to NAV Canada, the country's civil air navigation service. As far as we are concerned, this is a statement from one of the NAV guys, we're focusing only on credible threats, and that is important.
Was that a UFO?
I don't think that immediately. When we're doing this podcast and I hear a loud noise, I think, fucking duck.
I usually think it's a child that's cracked open their head.
I usually think it's somebody trying to shoot at us.
Okay.
Anyways, a search for unidentified flying object in Transport Canada's Civil Aviation Daily Occurrence Reporting System returned 14 results. That's just like a random search, right? One entry describes a flying object the size and shape of a rugby ball mm-hmm. near Prince Rupert, British Columbia, and another quotes a silver ball-shaped object with mechanical grooves and four flashing lights below near Ottawa. In some instances, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, has been notified. And this guy, Rakowski, collects UFO reports from across Canada. He produces an annual mm-hmm. summary of his findings. So there you go. See, in the United States, the study of UFOs often takes on a more militaristic tone. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like men in black guys show up at your door.
Yeah, that's the tone that's
look
taken.
At the little flashy thingy, and then you remember nothing.
And there's, if you look across the world, in nations from South America, in France, they released something called the Cometa Report, which is a report of scientists talking about unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And in UK, they also the MOD, Ministry of Defense, also released something called the Condyne Report, which sort of aggregated years and years of military sightings and released what they knew to the public, what they could within the limits of security classification. So this is something that's come out all over the world. But like you said, you're right. Within the States, it always comes back to a security or a threat narrative. And the narrative that seems to be pushed right now is that, like, there's something flying over our military bases. We don't know what it is. It's like, there's three options. it's China. That's bad. It's Russia. That's worse. Or it's aliens.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, this Rutowski mm-hmm. guy says, he goes, in his experience, UFO reports are almost always one of two things. It's either a planet or a satellite.
Okay.
But here's something I didn't know about. So this is like...
If you look up in the sky, who the fuck doesn't know what a planet is?
Yeah, well, come on now. Seriously?
I just think, though, man, when I, like, if I see an object moving, a little light moving in a straight line across the sky, and you watch it for fucking 2 minutes, it moves in a straight line, that's a fucking satellite. Now, if it starts cutting right angles, then fucking call me.
Yeah. And just last week, Wednesday night, I think the International Space Station was visible above Vancouver skies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But here's something I did not know mm-hmm. about. Now, when I was a kid in the little town I grew up in, a friend that I went to school with, her mom,
mm-hmm.
Reported seeing a UFO.
Uh-huh.
And it was very socially ostracizing for her.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little farm town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And people were like, oh, she's crazy. You know, she's a single mom.
Yeah.
Right away. So, burn her, she's a witch.
Yeah.
But they said, like, a lot of horrible shit mm-hmm. about them. You know, these are people that mention UFOs and it's, that's crazy talk, mm-hmm. UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
There's an invisible man in the sky who knows everything about you, and if you pray to him, good things will happen. Yeah. That I believe. Yeah, I believe that.
That's true. It's like billions of people in this world believe in faiths where if you go back to the genesis of those faiths, they come from spirit contact or contact with intelligences that are non-human.
Well, but there you go.
Apparently that can't occur in the year 2020 or at any period in between.
Well, I really want to get to this before our break. Because I didn't know about this, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you do, because mm-hmm. you're one of these UFO buffs. The Falcon Lake incident in British Columbia, or mm-hmm. in Canada,
mm-hmm.
in Manitoba.
Okay, let's hear about this.
So this is back in 1967, I believe. Mm-hmm. So this is Stefan Michalak. He was an industrial mechanic by trade, but he was also an amateur geologist who liked to venture into the wilderness around Falcon Lake, about 150 kilometers east of Winnipeg, and he was prospecting for quartz and silver. And this is apparently Canada's best documented UFO case. It even beats Roswell in 1947, and of course the U.S. still doesn't recognize anything happening mm-hmm. in Roswell, even though in Roswell they actually recovered that metal that it may have been made out of that was like impermeable to heat and you could crumple it up. And
that's the mythology. That's what people on the ground said. But then, I mean, the story is that I think it was Jesse Marcel or something like that. And that was the guy's name. He's like, he turned it in to the authorities. And then the next day they reproduced different materials that looked like balsa wood remains of a weather balloon. But he said that these aren't the materials we actually recovered at the site.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. So anyways,
you want to talk about UFOs in Canada, though. Just an interesting, just for people who don't know, an interesting Canadian link to the Roswell case. The Roswell case was really blown open in the early 80s. Like, it was a nothing. No one really paid attention to it until the UFO researcher by the name of Stanton Friedman wrote a book and really started pushing this case and started interviewing witnesses. Now, Stanton Friedman adopted Canada as his home country. He lived in the Maritimes. He passed away, I believe, last year. And he also donated reams and reams and reams and reams of UFO documents to archives in, I believe, Nova Scotia. So if you want to hunt this UFO shit, you can head out to Nova Scotia to comb through those documents.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But sorry, we're talking about Falcon Lake.
Yes. And so the RCMP took this guy's glove and shirt and some tools and in 1967, and they were subjected to extensive analysis at the RCMP crime lab. And the reason being is because this guy had some weird burns.
Mm-hmm.
He smelled like sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
And later the burns were like in a pattern that was not consistent with anything that people can, attribute to, like that kind of radiation burn is the only thing they could think about. So the landing site was a circle about 15 feet in diameter, devoid of moss and vegetation growing in other areas, the same rock outcropping. Mm-hmm. Soil samples, along with samples of clothing, were tested and deemed to be highly radioactive. So were pieces of metal that were chipped out of cracks in the rock about a year after the incident. The metal had somehow been melted into the cracks. Many of the items have long since been lost as they were transferred through various authorities and agencies. However, Rutowski, same guy, and Michalik still have one of the pieces of metal which remains radioactive. And the Michalik they're talking about is this guy's son. Still sick in 1968 with recurrences of the burn showing up on his chest and suffering from blackouts, Stefan went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Doctors there examined him, thorough investigation, sent him to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist came back with a report that this is a fellow who's very pragmatic, very down to earth, pardon the pun, and does not make up stories. So, you know, apparently what happened was...
These are the cases that interest me. This is a good case with lots of different material evidence.
I saw a picture of, like, he was in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And so what he described was this.
But let me just ask, if for the debunkers out there, was this the planet Venus?
No. He described the craft and that it was making a weird kind of sound. And it was giving off a lot of heat and he could smell like burning sulfur. And then he got up close enough to it that it, because what he could hear inside was some kind of voices. But when he looked inside, he saw a lot of panels, a lot of different lights and this kind of thing. And then the voices that he had heard before stopped and then the door closed, like just automatically. But there was a like a vent and it was a series of holes in a grid pattern and something that whatever came out of that before this thing took off, it was some kind of vent, burned him and left the same impression on his chest. And like it said, he was sick. He, for like a long time after it. And apparently for his son said like it was a media circus before we even knew what that was like. He goes, they followed me to school. They were camped out on the lawn. We had to move, all this stuff. So a well-documented case. And I just found it very interesting that it's not as much, there's not as much stigma attached to this sort of thing up in Canada, which I'm surprised at because we're a pretty conservative country. Our institutions like the RCMP are pretty conservative. And CSIS, you know, before we take the break, I just want to say I hope CSIS is a lot more successful with UFOs than they are at catching terrorists because they suck at that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that shortly.
We will. But yeah, I don't really know what Canada's position on UFOs is. I think... like you said, we don't have a governmental policy. It's just the government doesn't say anything. In the United States, it's interesting because the government says something about them. They say they're not interested in them. It comes out that they're studying them. They have official programs to study them, like they did Project Blue Book.
Yeah.
Then they say, we're not studying them. They're not of interest, but it's things leak out. They are of interest. Then in the late 2000s, they denied having any interest when at that time they had an active program studying them. Which is what all the stuff of the New York Times lets. But Canada, it's just nothing. And you talked about, it's interesting, UFO researchers seem to come from Manitoba for whatever reason.
Well, it's weird. I mean, Manitoba has again.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. hundreds of mm-hmm. thousands of mm-hmm. hectares of mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. undiscovered yeah. country. It has, but did you know there's, well, I think the name of the town will be a dead giveaway. Mm-hmm. Uranium City. Did you know we had that in Manitoba?
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, radioactive materials are mined in Canada.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess there's a lot there. But can I ask you one thing? And I'm very curious mm-hmm. as to what your opinion on this is. When you start talking about the UFO phenomena, you really can't avoid talking about the people who claim to have been abducted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like right away, the go-to was, yeah, it sounds a lot like people who were sexually abused as children.
Or they have sleep paralysis.
But how do you equate that mm-hmm. with what these people describe?
You can't. I'm actually reading a book now by a...
So why would they say, is that just like, hey, look over there, you know, shiny object syndrome? Is that just a distraction?
I say
something like that?
I don't know. It's just it seems like our society is getting to the point where we can acknowledge that maybe there's something flying around in the air that we don't know about, but abductions, that is just a bridge too far. Like, that is an experience beyond what we can
comprehend,
and it's also kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm reading a fairly serious treatment of the phenomenon given in a book called Abduction
mm-hmm.
by a psychiatrist who came from Harvard. His name's John Mack. And I'm not saying that as an appeal to authority. It's actually it's a well-written book. And as any good therapist should, he treats his clients' experiences as serious and as real from a subjective point of view. Because as far as those people are concerned, they are real. And once he gets looking at the consistencies through those experiences, he has larger questions about the fundamental nature of our reality. And I think when we get to the bottom of the subject, that's what it is. It's about, what do we really know about this world? What do we really know about the universe we live in? And what do we know about our own experience? That's what gets me off on the UFO phenomenon.
Yeah, well, I think it really is one of those things where, I've said this before, you know, a lot of people have faith in a higher power mm-hmm. because the thought of just being alone mm-hmm. on this little tiny blue yeah. speck in the mm-hmm. middle of all that is too much to mm-hmm. handle. But it's interesting as shit. So I apologize. I apologize for all the fun I have made of you and your UFO fucking lunatic shit. Because
mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's pretty interesting. But in the meantime...
Keep an eye open. Like you said, like you opened this up with, it's an exciting time. It will be exciting until we find out we all live in an intergalactic soul farm.
Okay. Well, having said that, it's time for a break and a message from our sponsor.
Rebel Media.
No, it's not Rebel Media.
No?
We would have nothing to do with them.
Okay.
Our sponsor this week is Banana Hammock Tanning Salons, the preferred choice of incels who live in their mom's basements. You got to get out there, boys. Get some color. You can't just get that one arm action hanging outside of the window when you're driving them vans down the sidewalk.
Yeah, you can't get them colors without that color.
Okay, Banana Hammock Tanning Salons. We'll be right back. Thank you very much, Banana Hammock Tanning Salon, the preferred choice of incels who live in their mom's basement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, times are tough. We got to get some real sponsors one of these days.
Yes.
Not that the ones we have aren't great, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're a little bit
Rebel niche. Media, Rebel Media, they're struggling.
Well, yeah.
They're struggling. I mean,
they're for good reason.
Yeah.
Because they suck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They paid me in a new cryptocurrency last week, a Confederate coin.
Oh, my God. Why do, just out of curiosity, to like people of color, uh-huh. brown people, black people go and work for Rebel?
Do they?
Yeah. They always have like tokens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a white supremacist alt-right thing. Well, look, we have a person of color, so what we say must be true.
Well, money is money. I mean, the dark man's plan when he comes to this country is work as many jobs as he can. It was work
the
as many
dark man's plan.
Yes, yes. It's get your family all together in one house, uh-huh. maybe more than one family. All of you guys work hard. You buy that house, then you leverage that house, and you can just keep buying more and more and more. So where you work doesn't really matter. You just got to get that money. Because the end goal is to buy all the white people's houses and then rent the basements out to them.
And that's...
That is called Surrey.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's already happened. Don't you have white people living in your basement?
The Surrey plan. No, yeah. I do not have white people living in my basement.
Who do you have?
Some sort of ethnics.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. What I want to talk about, and I'm pretty excited to talk about this right now.
Wait, Glenn.
Yeah.
What do you think about terrorism?
Well, I'm going to get to that right now.
I'll tell you what I think about terrorism.
What do you think?
It's a load of shit.
And why is that?
Because there was this whole thing, I think some shit happened in 2001, some planes crashed into a couple buildings, it might have been a hologram, and then this third building
just might have been a hologram.
This third building fell down out of nowhere from a fucking office equipment fire. I think that's the first time that's ever happened in history.
Yes, and what was the other one? Aviation fuel doesn't melt steel girders, all kinds of shit.
But then all of a sudden it was like, I had to take my shoes off at the fucking airport. It was bullshit. It was absolute bullshit.
I know.
And then all I know is that in the intervening period, like, apparently towel heads are supposed to be running through our towns, fucking burning shit down, blowing shit up. None of that shit ever happened. To the best of my recollection, the last time we really experienced significant terrorist activity in Canada was in the 80s. I think it was Sikh terrorist, Jagmeet Singh. Just wondering if you remember that at all. But I don't think Muslim terrorism has been a big thing on our...
Well, let me tell you, terrorism is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was in the UK, I also spent some time, I know this is going to come as a shock to you, I spent a little bit of time in Belfast. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are Irish Catholic living in Belfast, and there are people in uniforms kicking in your fucking door in the middle of the night for no particular reason to rouse you and your family... You would be hard pressed not to say who the terrorists were there.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be looking at the British Army and the UK in general as the terrorists. Whereas if you are a UK soldier and you get kidnapped and tortured and murdered by the provisional Irish Republican Army, you're going to say they're the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
But,
So what we're involved in here is some sort of sectarian conflict or civil war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. But not terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Because the methods used have been around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I believe, don't quote me on this, that these are the same methods that U.S. Special Forces, British, SAS, Israeli... Like, you name it, they all use the same methods.
RCMP snipers up north.
Yeah, exactly. but the reason I bring up terrorism is because if we did have a lot of terrorism here in Canada, we would suck at fighting it.
Well, maybe we're so good at it that I don't have a conception of it having ever occurred because we foiled it all.
So there's a guy in Calgary.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wonderful
like,
city.
Like, I, this is our history of with the RCMP and CSIS and terrorism. And, like, you know, in America, when they got a terrorism story, pardon me, God damn it, it's exciting, mm-hmm. even if it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. But you know, when they Zero Dark 30. You know, who'd they whack there? The guy who killed Bin Laden.
Obama, yeah.
Yeah.
Osama bin
Laden. So there was Obama and Hillary, and everybody was in the ready room, mm-hmm. and they were watching it because, you know, the SEALs had their helmet cams on,
mm-hmm.
and they made a great movie out of it, and it's exciting shit.
And he was in Pakistan the whole time?
Yeah, he was because they didn't know that, right?
No, nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He was in Pakistan playing video games and jerking off to porn.
Yeah, he would go to the corner store. Good morning, Mr. Bin Laden. It's Smith. I thought we talked about this. Fuck me, just give me my cigarettes. Anyways, so guy in Calgary, who has been charged with terrorism offenses for allegedly traveling to Syria in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple of years back. And joining the so-called Islamic State, the RCMP said on Wednesday.
Now, is that a crime?
Well, the charges allege that Hussein Soborhat, I'm probably just butchering that poor man's name.
We can just call him Hussein Borat.
Yeah.
The greatest terrorist name of all time.
Isn't it? Participated in a kidnapping on behalf of ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
So the arrest of the 34-year-old followed what police described as an extensive and complex national security investigation that spanned 7 years. 7 fucking years. This guy is, it's not like, you know, they were following him every day and he was going to dead drops and reaching under the park bench and getting secret encrypted. No, this guy had done fuck all in 7 years except go to work, come home.
Yeah, but he committed a war crime.
They don't know that.
But so, maybe he committed a war crime.
He was taken
but
in...
speaking of war criminals, you told me that one was just speaking at Joe Lewis's memorial earlier in the show. The drone king, Barack Hussein Obama, dropping bombs on his own people.
You're going to make me choke on my coffee. So he was taken into Calgary on Tuesday and faces 4 terrorism-related charges, including participation in the activity of a terrorist group and commission of an offense for a terrorist group. The case marks a rare prosecution of a suspected ISIS returnee. I'm just wondering, were the RCMP, were they sitting around and then somebody came in and went, whoa, hey, everybody, put down your PlayStations, just... fucking eyes on me. So we just got a call from CSIS. Has anybody here in the room arrested any fucking terrorists? Anybody? Joe, I know you were good last week with the parking ticket quota. That was awesome. Keep it up. Bobby, didn't you beat the shit out of a indigenous person last week? Good job. We got nothing with the fucking terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So CSIS is getting on our case. We got to make one. And then they went and found this guy, right? So who's done nothing? Between May 9th, 2013, June 7th, 2014, Hussein Borat traveled. Well, how would you say it?
Very nice.
B-O-R-H-O-T. And that's the other name. S-O-B-H-E.
He's a real SOB.
Yeah. So he went to Syria where he contributed to activities of a terrorist group, the Islamic State. Mm. That's what the RCMP said. During this time...
Well, how can you be a terrorist group if your name is State?
Well, don't...
Okay, well, we won't go there. We won't go there.
During his time, Hussein enlisted with ISIS, received training for the purpose of enhancing the ability of ISIS... knowingly participated and contributed to the activities of the group and knowingly committed the offense of kidnapping.
Now, this makes sense, okay? Now, this... I got this now. I got this for you, Glenn. I got this, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right? You know how lots of young men and women and non-gendered individuals in the United States join the army for the educational and vocational opportunities, right?
Yes.
Now, the bleeding green left has been hurting Alberta so bad, making it so hard to get a job there in the plentiful, bountiful oil fields,
sure.
Fucking hijacking fucking pipeline operations, that this man had no choice but to seek out vocational opportunity. And the only one who's out there giving it was the Islamic State.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
So
this is actually, this is the left's fault.
So a guy who's been doing nothing.
No comment.
No, because it's just all a load of shit. This guy, okay, he was remanded in custody and will appear at court on Friday. His ISIS entry form described him as a pipe fitter, identified him as Hussein Barat, a.k.a. Abu Othman al-Kanadi, a Lebanese Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like the same guy they just arrested.
Mm-hmm.
The files show he left Syria on May 30th, 2014, through the Azaz border crossing. The reason for his departure was listed as joining the brothers in Lebanon.
I would just like to say, Borat, leaving Syria, good move.
Yep. I've known about Hussein Borat for a long time, and it was indeed surprising that he had not been charged, said Professor Amarnath Amarasingham, at Queen's University terrorism expert. But from all my interviews in Calgary, it did seem like he had turned his life around and had moved on with his life. It's worth pointing out that there's no evidence as of yet that he was doing anything to endanger public safety in the years after he returned. The arrest shows that the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, is very much interested in, see, it's right here, it says it, is very much interested in charging returnees, even if it takes many years to build a case, even if they've done fuck all, except live their lives. But sadly, it may suggest to some cynics that taking this long to build a case is exactly the problem, as someone more dangerous could have had a lot of time to plan some sort of attack back in Canada, kind of a sleeper, you know, cell thing. And when they say more dangerous, you know who they're talking about, Harge?
Who?
They are talking about people like John Nuttall and Amanda Cordy.
No, who are these? These sound like customers of mine.
Custies,
as we call them.
They could well have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these people, now this goes back a while. They were being charged with planting pressure cooker bombs at Parliament on Canada Day.
This year?
No. This was back in 2016? Yeah. No, they were granted their freedom in 2016. Mm-hmm. So this is another RCMP CSIS undercover thing.
Mm-hmm.
So John and Amanda were a couple of junkie people with substance abuse issues who were on income assistance.
Now let's guess what kind of drugs they were using.
Heroin.
Heroin? Just heroin?
Yep.
Heroin's not a very, it's not a drug that makes you want to dismember or blow things up.
Well, apparently it is.
Very motivated heroin addicts, but anyways.
Apparently it is. So, but they also both had mental health issues.
Okay.
And so the RCMP found these guys and said, you know what? I bet you we could convince these two fucking idiots to plant pressure cooker bombs, even though they don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it was appealed. The appeal court faulted the finding of the RCMP, lacked reasonable suspicion with regards to Nuttall and Cordy. They spent millions of dollars on these two.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they had the agent who was a brown guy, you know, he posed as a member of Al-Qaeda and said, you know, I can hook you up with the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And then some RCMP undercover guys provided everything. From the pressure cookers to the plans, they just, and these two guys, Amanda and John, were like, are you sure? Are you sure we should be doing this?
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, it'll be fine. Plant these at the Parliament buildings, mm-hmm. and it'll be Canada Day, and wow, you guys are making an impact. So
what is the point of an operation like this? You haven't really foiled anything, have you?
No, you've actually created a problem and then solved it.
So, like, if your child did this at home, they'd be a gigantic piece of shit. If they created some problem and then solved it in order to win your favor, and you found out, you'd be like, the fuck's wrong with
you? I know. Yes. So here's the deal. In 2015, Nuttall and Crotty, who lived in Surrey... Who lived in Surrey, British Columbia, were convicted by a jury and facing stiff sentences. But immediately after the verdict, the couple's lawyers applied for a stay of proceedings over how the RCMP had conducted their sting operation. Before the Supreme Court of British Columbia, and over weeks of hearings that stretched from the summer of 2015 until the summer of last year, the Mounties' methods of investigating Nuttall and Crotty were placed under a microscope. When the court made its ruling, it was a stunner. The judge accused the RCMP of entrapment, basically fabricating most of the terrorist plot. As Justice Catherine Bruce noted in her ruling, the specter of the defendant serving a life sentence for a crime that the police manufactured by exploiting their vulnerabilities, by instilling fear that they would be killed if they backed out, and by quashing all doubts they had in the religious justifications for their crime, is offensive to our concept of fundamental justice. Simply put, the world has enough terrorists. We do not need the police to create more out of marginalized people. And she threw out the guilty verdict against the couple.
Now, I've always been against women on the bench.
What the fuck?
I find them too vindictive as a gender. Once they get power, it's all bets are off. But I will have to say I'm starting to go back on that position.
Well, that's good.
If you don't believe in justice, it seems like maybe justice was served in this case.
I would say it was. Mm-hmm. This sting and subsequent trials cost millions of taxpayers' dollars involving more than 240 officers and $900,000 in overtime, just in overtime.
Just to nab Crank and Crotchety or whatever the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's growing evidence that internal biases within the RCMP and CSIS are leading to people being wrongfully accused of terrorism. The Nuttall-Crotty case suggests these agencies are even manufacturing terrorism cases that would not otherwise exist. Marilyn Sanford, one of Nuttall's attorneys, suspects the RCMP in particular was influenced by the example of police undercover operations carried out in the U.S. South of the border, this is standard procedure now. Most terrorism investigations in the U.S. are state-created plots in which vulnerable people are entrapped.
The people who do not have the capabilities, the willingness, or the motivation to do the... Like, if they hadn't been led on by the state, like, no terrorist act would ever fucking take place.
So, you know, and a good example of this is when you look at professional criminals, the old guys, some of the old guys that friends knew, not me personally.
Viewers, you are getting an inside look right now into the world. Perhaps you are getting an inside look.
But these were guys who, the most successful guys, were very chill and would not, you know, didn't want any attention. So they didn't drive Mercedes or BMWs or anything flash, but they also didn't drive a piece of shit. They drove something, you know, your grandpa would drive. They didn't wear the bling. They didn't talk business, you know, openly. They didn't brag. They weren't walking around with wads of money. They were just chill, right? Because business is business and you want to keep making money. And then, you know, you saw this yourself at Detox. Some of the young kids who came in who were like gangbangers or, you know, wannabes, it's all the bling and all the talk and carrying guns and everything else, all the shit that is one giant heat score.
Yeah, and the truth comes out, they've never held more than $400 in their hand at any given time.
So I'm saying that the terrorists that the RCMP and CSIS are going after are people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like you're walking around shouting about blowing shit up and using that, you know, using, you know, Islam as a pretense to do that. You're probably not, you know, the type of person who's actually capable of carrying that out.
I seem to think that there's a connection also here in terms of police procedures to what goes on to address the drug trade from a policing end.
Mm.
I get the impression that a lot of our police seizures and stuff like that are similar setups and stings, perhaps. You think there's something related to that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're going to love this. I love this this quote here. The RCMP first heard of Nuttall in 2012 when someone complained to them that he was espousing violent Islamic beliefs. The RCMP conducted a thorough investigation and eventually concluded Nuttall posed no threat.
Mm-hmm.
A psychiatric nurse who examined him at the time felt Nuttall was developmentally delayed because he spoke slowly and had difficulty understanding what a police officer said to him, according to the judgment.
He could also have been on heroin.
Yeah. One anonymous informant told CSIS he felt Nuttall was mentally slow, but interest in him was rekindled in early 2013 when CSIS sent... See, this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They sent the RCMP a letter claiming it had unverified general concerns that he was a threat to public safety.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
When an RCMP superintendent met with a local CSIS officer, the Mountie was told CSIS was worried about Nuttall because he might be a recent Muslim convert attempting to recruit others.
Mm-hmm.
Which he wasn't attempting to recruit.
You know, there's nothing more than Muslims love than street junkies.
Yeah. So this is the guy that ISIS and Al-Qaeda and everybody wants to get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A tall, shambling, former punk musician who grew up in Victoria, who was also a heroin addict. Mm-hmm. That's who they're looking to recruit, by the way. And they said he was attempting to purchase potassium nitrate at a pharmacy in Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
This, in fact, was likely erroneous. A later investigation found no evidence that he was doing anything suspicious at pharmacies other than picking up prescriptions.
For methadone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Indeed, Nuttall and Crotty did not fit the portrait as trained, organized, and ideologically committed Islamic terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
No. They were both on welfare, both recovering heroin addicts who lived isolated lives in a messy, garbage-strewn basement suite in in Surrey.
Yeah, this isn't the type of person that's going to blow something up. The only thing this person is going to blow up is their own life.
Yeah.
Even more so than they already have. Now, let me paint a picture for you, CSIS. The type of individual who you need to worry about is, like you said, someone low-key. Not too low-key.
No.
Medium-key. Maybe someone who is not in active addiction, but who has recovered from their addiction and is feeling disillusioned with this world. You can't get at their internet history because they surf the net on a Tor browser with a burner phone.
Whoa.
Now, they're fairly well off. They like boating. So they're scouting out locations. Their boat's not too big. It's not a yacht. Perhaps a 15-foot-long bayliner. They're out there with their family. They're scouting. One night, they come along. They plant some incendiary devices underneath Canada Place. Bada bing, bada boom. That's your guy. That's who you need to be worried about.
Okay. So, let me say...
They also may have espoused right-wing beliefs at one time or another.
The
wild card. Need to be worried about the wild card.
Okay, here's the deal. Luckily, we don't have any listeners. Yeah. So the chances of anybody coming and kicking in the door and throwing a flashbang into the room, and because the thing is, you talk shit like that, I'm going down with you. They're going to be looking at the little white guy going,
Well, you
got to know this fucker had something to do with something.
Well, we're brothers now. We did that little blood thing. Now, if I'm going down, you're going to. Now, I'm looking for a job right now. I mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
I wanted to apply to CSIS.
You should. I really should apply to CSIS.
I really want to because it's close. I could walk.
Yeah.
I could walk to CSIS. But I really thought that, like, there's no way I'll pass the security screening. But now, based
Why not? You hate Jugmeet, and he's, as you mentioned, he's a big supporter of terrorists.
I've just been involved in too many weird, non-standard situations in my life.
But you should do it. Can we do that? Can we make that a show?
Based on what you said, they need brown people.
They do. They need brown people.
I could go up there. I can recruit the mentally ill to blow up fucking the legislative building, the city hall.
You could recruit your own patients, your clients.
Ooh.
Right? So the people who are coming to you for counseling.
No ethical concerns there whatsoever.
You could just go, really? Mm-hmm. It seems to me like you're harboring resentments to the government and that perhaps you'd like to join a religious organization.
Now, let me tell you about Muhammad in the end times.
You could do that, and you'd be racking up the arrests. Yeah. You'd get a fucking Medal of Honor.
Financial struggles,
No, that's not even a Canadian thing.
Oh, can't
Order of Canada.
Can't pay your mortgage? Let's talk about the Jews for a minute.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I think you should. I think we should do that as one of our shows, one of the podcasts.
Hard applies for
to CSIS online.
Online,
yeah. And and we'll see what kind of a reaction we get.
They don't pay very well.
Yeah. You know that every time I leave here after recording, I have one of those little mirrors on a telescoping thing, and I check the undercarriage of my vehicle for explosive devices.
But I think you're giving us far too much credit because no one's listening.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It just takes one. It just takes one.
Yeah.
It takes somebody with a beef against you or me who are going, fuck, we'll just listen to the shit that they say on their show.
I don't think we say anything too bad. We're having fun. Like I said earlier, we're about love and light. We love everyone.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, especially me.
Yeah, we appreciate your being.
I'm a people person.
And we want to thank you for being with us on
this
planet.
Yes. And being here with us, allowing us into your homes, into your lives, into your ears and minds, into your basement suites in Surrey. And allowing us to teach you all about pressure cookers.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're an attractive woman on a treadmill in the gym wearing those very, very tight pants, running, squatting, we appreciate being in your ears right now as well.
I don't think
any of those are listening.
Now, here's the deal, folks. And this is where we get serious now. And especially you, guy in Chile, are one listener in the Southern Hemisphere. Here's the deal. We need you to check us out weekly because we're here every week, man. We usually release a new episode on Fridays. You can check us out on Podbean. You can check us out. You can follow us there. You can check us out and listen to us and download on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, they got Joe
Rogan. Follow us there.
They got Joe Rogan, but we were equally coveted.
We were there first.
Yeah, we were there first.
There was
he's not there yet.
We couldn't come to an agreement.
No.
Properly.
Yeah.
With the money. It was a money thing.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. And that we had to pay to get onto the platform the first time ever.
So you can catch us on Spotify. You can also follow us there. You can catch us on Google Podcasts.
Yep.
You can't catch us on Apple Podcasts yet because they make it virtually fucking impossible to get through their whole bullshit system. But I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah, Apple's bullshit.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to keep trying. So you can catch us on all those places. But then we have a YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
the Wallace Hartley yeah. Presents channel on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Oh, just fucking yeah. stop. Mm-hmm. You're going to get everything we've done to yeah. this date yeah. taken down.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch us. You can see what we look like.
Yeah.
We can, you mm-hmm. can check out. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you, we don't have as many episodes on YouTube as we do on our other platforms, mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. audio-only platforms, mm-hmm. because our production guy is just a lazy bastard and hasn't quite gotten shit figured out yet.
Yeah, he's also white. I think you need an Oriental for that type of work. But
you do.
Yeah.
But you know what? We love you guys, and we want to have you back every week. So
big
go
news.
To one of those platforms
yeah,
and
but,
listen.
The big news
is subscribe. If, tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. Yeah, do all that shit. But if you want to support us financially, Patreon was taken down. But you can fire up your Tor browser. They're there. Look us up on Patreon. We're right after Richard Spencer. Donate us anything. Ammunition. Canned foods, whatever you can give, we're willing to take. Cryptocurrencies,
okay,
whatever.
Yeah.
We're good.
But yeah, we should get a Patreon.
Should we?
Yeah, because dude, I need to. I don't want to go to work anymore.
No.
And no. I want to do this. I want to be here, providing valuable, useful information for all of you out there to form enlightened, intelligent opinions. Yeah. Not slanted in any way, shape, or form to the left or the right or up or down.
Because this employment thing is soul-crushing. I mean, if you keep going the way you're going, you might be there on a boat with a brown guy one day with a sniper scope, just having bad thoughts.
We have to go now. Thanks for listening. Listen, folks, thanks for stopping by. And remember, as always, Harge and Glenn say,
don't be a dick.